This week's parsha is Parshas Nosoi. Invariably, Parshas Nosoi always falls after Shavuos. Shavuos, we had the Chag, the holiday, that commemorates Kabbalas HaTorah, that commemorates our receiving of the Torah. And like the Medrash says, that every year when we repeat the Parsha of Kabbalas HaTorah, Hashem views it as we had received it anew every year. Therefore, right after Shavuos, it's only proper, says Chiddush Orim, since the Torah was renewed and it was expanded, it's only proper that we should read Parshas Nosoi, which is the longest Parsha of the Chumash. It has 176 psukim, equivalent to chapter 119 of Tehillim of Psalms, which also has exactly 176 psukim, equivalent also to the longest Masechet in the Bavli Shas, which is Bava Basra, which also has 176 psukim. So you may ask me, what's so special about the number 176? The answer is that 176 is 8 times the Aleph Beis. There is 22 letters in the Aleph Beis, and 8 times 22 is 176, and we know that 176 comes from the level of 8, which is supernatural. The same idea that Shavuos, we actually receive the Torah on the 50th day, which is the supernaturally is the beginning of the 8th week. That's the idea of 176. The Shabbos after Shavuos is always called the Shabbos which comes after Shavuos. Why don't we call the Shabbos that comes after Pesach like the Shabbos that come after Pesach? Or why don't we call the Shabbos that comes after Sukkot by the name Shabbos that come after Sukkot? Sefer Mishnas Yisrael says in the name of Rav Mordechai Shlomo Friedman from Bian, he explains based on the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Chavav. There the Gemara says, Omar Ishlokish, Ishlokish says, Ma'i Dichsif, why is it written in the Pasuk in Vayikra, chapter 24, Pasuk number 6, Al Shulchan Hator, on the clean, on the pure Shulchan. The Shulchan is the table that the showbread were lined up in the holies, and the Torah is referring to it as the clean or pure Shulchan. And because the Torah is referring to it as the clean or pure Shulchan, it's obviously that there must be a situation where the Shulchan could be tome, could be defiled or impure. So the question is, how is it possible for the Shulchan, for the table to be spiritually unclean if we have a rule that something is made out of wood and it's unmovable, it's fixed in place, it does not attain tumah, and the Shulchan and the table in the tabernacle was made out of wood and it was always fixed in the holies. So how is it possible that it should ever achieve impurity? How could it be possible that it should ever be tumah, that you have to write down that it is tar? Rish Lakish says, Melamed, from here you learn, Shemakbin sa Shulchan lifnei regolim, that they used to pick up the table in front of the population, they used to take it outside and show the people. V'amr lohem, they used to tell them, Ru chibaschem lifnei amokoim, take a look how much Hashem loves you. What's so special about the Shulchan? That silukoi shalechem aponim kesiduroi, that when you take out the showbread was put in every Shabbos, and it was taken the next Shabbos, it was as hot when you took out, as fresh when you took out, as when you put it in. And that was a great miracle. And that miracle, the Kohanim wanted to show the Jewish people, for them to see how much Hashem loves us, that the bread was still fresh. And the idea and the symbolism behind it is that it's written that the Shulchan is supposed to symbolize Parnasa, the livelihood of a person, how much a person is going to make, is supposed to signify by the Shulchan. So much the Gemara says, Haroitze Leisasher, somebody who wants to become wealthy, Yatspin, he should turn to the north, because the Shulchan, which symbolizes Parnasa, was in the north of the holies. So therefore, if a person wants to become wealthy, he should turn to the north, which means when a person is praying the Shemoneh Esrei, the silent prayer, he should go to the east, but also make sure that it goes a little bit to the north, since the Shulchan signifies Parnasa, our livelihood. So we wanted to show how Hashem is very careful and He maintains our Parnasa fresh, that He's always watching. It's not just happenstance that He's carefully involved, that even after 7 days, it's still fresh and is able to make your Parnasa become fresh and hot. So too, you shouldn't worry, your Parnasa is going to be there because Hashem is clearly watching over it. So the Moshe Shlomo Friedman explains that on regular holidays, we have a Shabbos between. On Pesach, there is 7 days. Within 7 days, there is always one Shabbos in between them. Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres are 8 days. So within that 8 days, there is always a Shabbos between them. So everybody was able to see the Shulchan being lifted up. And everybody was able to observe this miracle. But Shavuos, since it's possible for Shavuos to be during a weekday, and Shavuos is only in Eretz Yisrael 1 day, it came out that not everybody was able to see that miracle of the Lechem Aponim, since Lechem Aponim was only done on Shabbos. Therefore, people that were there on Shavuos waited till the Shabbos afterwards, and the Shabbos afterwards is when the Kohanim would bring out the Shulchan to show the Lechem Aponim. So therefore, the Shabbos after Shavuos is called the Shabbos after Shavuos because it's closely related to Shavuos, and it was something that they couldn't do on Shavuos because they couldn't show the table. Sefer Torah Resemes gives a reason why we read right after Shavuos Parshas Nasoi, and according to his reason, we could also answer how come the Shabbos after Shavuos is called Shabbos after Shavuos. He brings down that the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, there the Gemara says that even though we have a machloikas, when the Torah was given, either the 6th of Sivan or the 7th of Sivan, everybody agrees that in Shabbos was given the Torah. Because in the Ten Commandments it's written, Zohar es yom ha-Shabbos lekachoy, remember the Shabbos to sanctify it. And when we went out of Egypt, there it's written, Vayomer Moshe l'Am, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish nation, Zachor es hayom hazeh, remember these days. Mala halon b'tzumo shel yom, the same way that when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke in Egypt, that was the very day that we went out of Egypt, so too when it's written, Zachor es hayom haShabbos, that is the very day that we received the Torah. So everybody agrees that on Shabbos we received the Torah. Sefer Torah's MS explains that even in the occasions that Shavuos falls during the week, like this year, the Shabbos after Shavuos is the main day where we actually receive the holiness of Torah. Since Kabbalah Satorah was on Shabbos, so therefore only on Shabbos you could perceive fully the Kabbalah Satorah that we received during that week. The whole Kedusha, the whole holiness of the Torah is only perceived on Shabbos. So therefore, on that Shabbos, we read the Parsha Nosoi as Roish B'nei Gershon Gamaim. We read the Parsha that you should take the censers or raise the heads of the children of Gershon. And it brings down the word Gershon comes from the word Gerushin Verichuk, which means divorce and being far away. And that is the root of the word Gershon, that raised the head of the people that feel themselves divorced. We are talking about people that are connected to Hashem, because on this Shabbos they feel a special connection to Hashem because of Matan Torah that happened during the week, because we received the Torah during this week. Yet those people feel like they are far away, not that they want to distance themselves from Hashem, but they feel they are far away because they haven't achieved. They weren't able to get where they want to be. So the Torah is telling you that Nasoyas Roish Bnei Gershon, that don't worry, the people that feel themselves like they are far away, they are humble because they feel they are far away, they are the ones that are eventually going to get raised their heads because of their feelings. Because of this very feeling, because of this feeling of this connection, and they're feeling bad about it, that is exactly what is going to cause them to raise the level. Which I mean that in Shavuos we received what in Kabbalistic terms is considered Isaruta de Leila, awakening from from above. In other words, awakening from heaven. We didn't do anything technically to receive the Torah. Hashem, totally from his desire to do chesed, to do a kindness for the Jewish people, gave us the Torah as a gift. So it was totally done from the sake of heaven without us contributing anything towards the receiving of the Torah. Hashem wanted to give out of his holiness to us, therefore he was mashpia, he radiated into us his holiness and his light. Therefore, if the Shabbos after Shavuos you feel a tinge and you start feeling that you are distant and you are not connected to Hashem and you feel like Shavuos passed you by like in a dream and you're not feeling any holiness of the day and you are wondering if anything happened to your soul and you feel distance from Hashem, that's what Hashem is telling you right after Shavuos. Don't worry, Naso et Rosh B'nei Gershon, you that you are feeling disconnected, you are feeling like divorced, your level will be raised because of your disconnection to Hashem. Because of your feeling of disconnection and your desire to become more connected to Hashem, that is exactly the reason that you will be raised. And the reason being, because of your feeling, shows that the Kedusha of that day, the holiness of Shavuos, was really effective and your soul actually felt it. So according to this, answers really the question, how come the Shabbos after Shavuos is called Shabbos after Shavuos? Because the whole holiness and the whole desire to connect to Hashem on that Shabbos, on the whole feeling of being distanced from Hashem, that comes directly because of the Kedusha of Shavuos and because of the Kedusha of Shabbos. Parshas Nasoi on chapter 6 talks about the laws of a Nazir. When somebody makes a vow that he will become a Nazir, he is forbidden to consume grapes or any grapes derivative, he is forbidden to cut the hair on his head, and is forbidden to render himself Tome, which is a ritual contamination, with the tumah of a human corpse, which means that he cannot go into a cemetery, a house that there is a dead person, or touch a dead person. The person normally is in a state of Nazirus for at least 30 days, and he could stipulate the term of Nazirus that he wants. In the Torah, the Parsha of Nazir immediately follows the Parsha of Sota. Sota is a woman that was suspected by her husband of committing adultery. She was warned in front of two witnesses not to be alone with that person. She chose to seclude herself with the person she was warned against. She claims she's innocent and she wants to prove her innocence. The husband is required to take her to the Beis HaMikdash, bring her to the Kohen. The Kohen writes in a parchment the portion of Sota, this portion that's in Parshas Nasoi. He takes the portion and dilutes it in water from the Kiyor, from the lever. And once the name of Hashem and all portion is diluted, we give her to drink. Before we dilute the water, we read to her the Parsha of Sota and tell her what is going to happen if she's found to be guilty. And we uncover her, then we dilute it and give her to drink. And if she is found guilty, then she will die. If she is found innocent, she's promised that she will have children or better children. Rashi on chapter 6, Pasuk 2, brings the Gemara on Sota, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara asks what's the connection between Sota and Nazir, why it's the juxtaposition between them, why are they next to each other. Rashi explains that whoever sees a Sota during her state of degradation, he is at the temple where they administer to her the water and sees what happens to her and how she becomes degraded. A person that sees that should separate himself from wine, because normally wine is the ingredient that brings a person to become a Sota, to commit adultery. And therefore, you should separate yourself in order to avoid the situation. The question the Mefarshim ask is, what is it your fault that you happen to be in the Beis HaMikdash when a Sota came in? If you happen to bring your sacrifice exactly when the Sota came in, what is it your fault that you saw this happening, that you should have to do something for it. One answer is, if you happen to bring your sacrifice exactly when Asota is present, and you happen to see it, and you happen to witness it, must be a reason why you happen to be there, and therefore you should take into your heart that you should separate yourself from wine. Because that is usually the reason why the Sota would commit adultery, therefore a person should abstain from it. From this you will learn an important lesson that a lot of things in life we believe is just coincidences. For example, we drive the car and we see a car accident in the highway, and you happen to see this bad accident, even though it did not impede in your driving, even though it did not stop you from your getting in time where you want to, but nonetheless, if you actually see it and you actually present when this happens, you have to realize that there must be a special message for you, and it's your duty to figure out what exactly that message is. There may be a lot of times multiple messages, but nonetheless, you're supposed to take at least one message. Nonetheless, you must at least take one message about this accident that you witnessed, because otherwise Hashem would have not made you witness it. Because Hashem could have made it that you shouldn't see it, it shouldn't be present during that time, it should come later. Yet Hashem made it that you should actually see it. That is an important message for you. Specifically, once we learn the Mishnah that everybody is supposed to say Bishvili Nivra Olam, that the whole world was created for me, that every single person is required to say the world was created only for me. That is a very haughty statement to say that everything that goes on to the world is because of you. But with that haughty statement comes a huge responsibility that every time something happens, it happened only because of you, and it is a message for you and a message that you have to take into your heart. Therefore, a person who sees the accident or is in the Beis HaMikdash, when he sees the Sota being degraded, then he is supposed to separate himself from wine. And if you see an accident, you're supposed to learn what is the message for you. And by that, Hashem won't have to get the message closer to you. First, Hashem sends the messages around your outskirts, and then he sends the message closer to you. And if you don't get the message, he brings it even closer by causing you some pain. Sefer Oznaim LaTorah asks a question: if the whole idea is that you shouldn't come to commit immorality, and wine is the ingredient that brings to immorality, why not just swear that you are not going to drink wine? Just promise that you're not going to drink wine, and that will take care of the problem of immorality. Why is it required for the Torah to tell a person that if he sees the Sota in her degradation, that he should become a Nazir? When you are Nazir, like we mentioned before, it involves three prohibitions. One is not drinking wine. Second is that he cannot get a haircut. And third, that he cannot contaminate himself to the dead. So why does he have to go through all three things if the main point is that all he wants to do is not drink wine, and that is what prevents a person from doing immorality? He explains that the idea is to combat the Satan, your evil inclination. Hashem gave an angel in charge of your evil inclination, and that angel's job is that whenever you trying to make a mitzvah, whenever you are trying to excel, he has to give you thoughts and ideas to prevent you from getting what you want. Because Hashem created man, in order for man to choose Hashem and to praise Hashem through our own free will. And to do that, we have to have evil inclination to combat any time we try to do something right. Then the greater you work to get to the will of Hashem, the greater your Satan works. That's what the Gemara brings down in Sukkah Daf Mim Beis: Kol HaGodol Mechaveroi Yitzro Godol Mimenoi. Anybody who is in a greater level than his friend, then his Yitzro Hara is also greater than his friend. That is also a reason that we should never judge somebody else, because a lot of times we see somebody else doing something bad and we tend to judge, how can he do that? Is he such a great man? But you should know that That is exactly the reason. Because he is a greater man, therefore he has got a greater evil inclination, and that is what caused them to fall. Therefore, in our case, if the Satan will see that this person is saw the Sota, and automatically by seeing the Sota, he got a Hirur Tshuva, he got an awakening of repentance, because if you see what happens to her, how she becomes embarrassed and degraded, it's impossible for you not to think and not to get thought of Tshuva. The Satan right away is going to try to balance the act by causing you to have evil thoughts. Therefore, it's important for you to overwhelm the odds against the Satan by you doing the Nazirus. True that just to combat immorality would be enough to separate yourself from wine. But since at that point the Satan is going to stand in your way, therefore you have to go above and beyond and do Nazirus, which involves all these three things which have to do with the Sota. And he explains that these three things are exactly what you saw by a Sota. The number one we mentioned is the wine, and that is the biggest of the sins. And he explains that this is based on Medrash Tanchuma, Noach, Yud Gimel. There, the Medrash tells a story. When Noach came out of the ark, the first thing he did was to plant a vine. When he was about to plant the vine, the Satan appeared, and the Satan asks, "Do you want me to become a partner with you in making this vine grow?" Noach replied, "Yes." Satan left and returned with a little lamp in his arm. He slaughtered it, holding it over the vine. And then he came back a second time with a lion. He killed it and saturated the vine with its blood. Then he came with a pig and killed it, staining the earth with the vine and its blood. Then the Satan brought a monkey and he slaughtered and poured the blood over the vine. The consequence of the Satan's action is that anybody who drinks wine ends up having these four characters. If a man takes a cup of wine, he becomes like a lamb, docile and peaceful. If he drinks two cups of wine, he becomes like a lion, he becomes boastful, strong, and he thinks he believes he could accomplish anything. After three cups of wine, he becomes like a pig, where he vomits and rolls in his own dirt. After four cups, then he becomes like a monkey, where he jumps and dances all around, and he does everything immoral that's supposed to be. So therefore, you see that if you drink wine, then your mind becomes mixed up, and you don't know anymore to differentiate between clean and unclean, between what's allowed, it's not allowed, and the whole Torah looks to you like a straight arrow. If you cannot tell the difference anymore, then everything looks to be straight. The second thing you have to separate is the beautifying yourself. We know that beautifying yourself from outside, specifically by the hair, that is really how you entice a person. You could bring actually a proof from Hashem himself, because according to Gemara, Brachas, Daf Samach Aleph, Omed Aleph, on the Pasuk, Bereishis chapter 2, Pasuk number 22, there it says, Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Hatzela asher lokach min ha'adam le'isha, that Hashem built the rib that he took from man as a woman. The Talmud says that Dorash Rab Shimon ben Manasseh, Rab Shimon ben Manasseh darshins, what does it mean, Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Hatzela? Melamed, from where you learn that Hashem braided Chava's hair and brought it to Adam. That in the islands of the sea, they call braiding boina. So it says, Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Hatzela, Hashem built the rib, it doesn't mean he built the rib, he actually braided Chava's hair. So you see that Hashem himself, when he wanted to make Chava attractive for Adam, the thing that he decides to do is braid her hair. So you see clearly that braiding your hair is a source of attractiveness. Also, Rashi on chapter number 39, Pasuk number 6 on Bereishis, there it's talking about Yosef HaTzadik. When Yosef was in the house of Potiphar, where Yosef was in charge of everything, the Pasuk says, Vahi Yosef Yefas Toar, that Yosef was good looking. And right afterwards, the Pasuk says, Vatiso Eshes Adoinov, that the wife of Potiphar decides to give her eye on Yosef and try to seduce him, Rashi is bothered why right before the story of Potiphar's wife, it's written that Yosef is good looking. It should have written that Yosef is good looking as soon as he came down to Egypt. Why right before the story of Potiphar is telling you that Yosef has good looks? Rashi says that once Yosef saw himself ruling over Potiphar, he started eating and drinking and started playing with his hair. So Hashem says, your father is mourning over you and you are playing with your hair. I will send to you the bear, which is the wife of Potiphar. So you see that the whole reason Hashem got angry is because he was playing with his hair, not because he was eating and drinking. Rashi says clearly that Hashem says that your father is mourning over you and you are playing with your hair. So that is the source of the enticement for Potiphar's wife. And that is why Yosef had to go through the test of Potiphar's wife. From here you see clearly that hair is a way to cause attractiveness. And another thing explains that even a nice haircut is also considered beautiful. Because the Gemara in Tanis number 17 brings down that Melech Mistaper Kol Yoim, that a king is required to get a haircut every day. Because it's written, Melech Beyofyoi Techzener Necho, that we should only see a king when he's beautiful. So a king was required to get a haircut every single day to make sure that every hair is in the right place, because a beautiful haircut is a way to cause attractiveness. And since a king has to be always attractive to people, always has to look good, so therefore he was required to take a haircut every day. So you see that according to this comes out that hair sometimes is attractive and sometimes a haircut is attractive. Therefore, a Nazir wasn't allowed to get a haircut for 30 days and he had to let his hair grow and eventually take the hair right before he finished the Nazirus, shave it off and give it as a sacrifice to Hashem, because this was the source of the enticement and this is the source of causing person attractiveness. And the last thing Sefer HaZnaim LaTorah explains why is it prohibited for a Nazir to touch a dead body is because as soon as death occurs, then spirits of impurity, spirits of tumor, try to connect himself to the body and they try to get any little bit kedusha, a little bit of holiness that is connected to anything around it. And since the person who touches the dead body is normally tumor for 7 days, and even a mikveh cannot purify him until he sprinkles himself the ashes of the paraduma, this tumor pushes away the kedusha, pushes away the holiness, and they prevent him from serving Hashem wholeheartedly. Why? Because the satan caused him to become tumor. Therefore, the Torah tells you that a nazir is not allowed to touch a dead body because he has to maintain himself in a holier level because of his status that he wants to become holier. It's a little Kabbalistic, and I wanted to explain in a simple way all these three ideas that he brings. That since by Asota she drank the wine and we uncover her hair, because when she's tested we uncover her hair, and Rashi clearly says Koloroya Soita Bekilkula, that anybody saw Asota when she's becoming degraded, that means that she's eventually, this Sota is eventually going to die. So once you see these things happening to the Sota, you want to move away completely from that regard. So therefore you're not allowed to play with your hair, you're not allowed to drink wine, and you're not allowed to connect yourself to the dead, because this sota is eventually going to die. But Rav Sorotzkin doesn't give this interpretation, but nonetheless, it's consistent to what he says. So he says that basically in his idea, again, that a person who gets connected or sees the sota, he has to move all the way across the board. He has to go to the other side completely, because the satan realizes that he's already in the path of tshuva. Once the satan realizes the path of tshuva, he's going to try to prevent his way. So therefore, the only way to go to a complete path of a tshuva is to go completely to the other side by becoming a nazir. By him becoming a nazir, he will abstain from these three things that caused a sota to sin. And by him doing that, he'll be considered what the Torah brings down in Pasuk number 8, Kol Yemei Nizroi, that while he's a Nazir, Kodesh Hashem is considered holy to Hashem. Sefek Emet Dover brings down that the whole purpose of Naziris could be two things. One thing is that a person wants to get holier and he wants to achieve Ruach HaKodesh, divine prophecy. like the prophet in Amos 2 brings down, "V'okim ibneichem nevim," I'll establish from your children prophets, "V'b'chorecheichem nezireim," and I'll make from your chosen ones nazirs. So you see that prophets and nazirs is basically the same thing. And on that case, it's written in the pasuk "Lahazir l'Hashem," that a person wants to become a nazir l'shem Hashem, for the sake of Hashem, to reach the level where he gets in closer contact to Hashem. And the other reason why a person would do nazirus, Sefer Hemekdavar brings down, is what's related in Nazir Daf Dalet Omed Beis. There the Gemara tells a story that Shimon HaTzadik said, "In all my days I never ate of an Hashem offering of a nazir who had become Tomeh, who had become spiritually contaminated." When a person becomes spiritually contaminated, he has to restart the system, he has to restart the 30 days. He loses all the days that he kept till now. So Shimon HaTzadik thought that any person like that, when he becomes Tomeh, he changes his mind and is upset that he took a vow, and it's tantamount as he would have brought a sacrifice for no reason, because he's upset that he has to restart the system. He never bargained for the idea that he has to keep more than 30 days, and now, because he became defiled, not of his own fault, he has to keep more than 30 days, he has to restart again the 30 days. So Shimon HaTzadik decided he's never going to eat from that sacrifice, from that guilt offering that is brought by a Nazir become contaminated, except for one man, which means that he saw a Nazir that the sincerity was beyond doubt. From that man, he decided to eat the sacrifice. What's the story of that man? There was once a man who came from the south with beautiful eyes and good looking, and with his locks arranged in curls. So Shimon HaTzadik said to him, "My son, why have you seen fit to destroy this beautiful hair of yours by becoming a Nazir and having to shave it off?" He said to me, "I was a shepherd for my father in my town, and I went to draw water from the spring, and I gazed upon my reflection in the water. I realized for the first time how handsome I was. Then my evil inclination surged over me and sought to banish me from the world by causing me to sink into sensuality, either because he started to get haughty or because he started to have immoral thoughts. I said to my evil inclination, 'Good for nothing, why you conceited in a world that is not yours, where your end is to be food for worms and maggots?'" In other words, a person when he dies, he's going to become food for maggots. So he's talking to himself, "Why am I conceited in this world? By the temple service, he swore in the name of the temple that I should shave you for the sake of the heaven, that he would shave the head for the sake of the heaven." So Shimon HaTzadik stood and kissed him on the forehead and said to him, "May there be many Nazirim like you in Israel." So it's but such a Nazir that the Torah says, if a man should clearly utter a vow for the sake of Hashem. So you see that when your Yetzer Hara, when your evil inclination is attacking you, then you should become a Nazir. Basically, there's two ways to become a Nazir, says the Hemekdavar. One is to kick away the Yetzer Hara from inside you. The same idea that when you see the Sota, you should become a Nazir. And the second idea is that you want to achieve the level of prophets, you want to become holier, you want to become more ascetic, then you will become a Nazir. Shami Shmuel explains that the three things that a Nazir is commanded on: the wine, on shaving the hair, and on getting contaminated, that goes to the three parts, the three components that is involved in a sin. When a person sins, he involves machshava, thought, dibur, speech, and masa, action. A person sins by having bad thoughts first, and then he sins sometimes by speaking about somebody, and sometimes he sins by doing an action against somebody. The hair is on top of your brain, and that is about the thought process. So a person has to think about his thought process. The wine is against speech, because the Talmud says that yain, numerical value of the word yain, is 70. Yud is 10, yud is 10, nun is 50, so it's 70. And secret, sod, is also 70. Samach is 60, vav is 6, dalet is 4. So together makes it 70. The Gemara says that nechnas yain yotza sod, as soon as wine goes in, secrets come out, and that is considered speech. And Tuma, he says, Tuma is like action, because to actually do an action to become Tomeh, you have to touch something, you have to do an action to become Tomeh. So he explains that Nazir, by protecting himself from these three things, he's protecting himself from the things that conduct a person to do a Tumah. And therefore it does all these three things. Even though we mentioned till now that it is a great thing to become a Nazir, but the fact is that in Pasuk Yutalev, there the Pasuk says, V'chiper Olav, that he has to bring a sin offering, and he has to atone Masher Choto ala Nefesh, what is sinned on a soul. So there are different interpretations what kind of sin he's doing, and the Ramban brings the idea that he's sinning because now he's going back to humanity and he's letting go of the level that he was during these 30 days. He's not maintaining the high level that he had till now. Therefore, he's considered a sinner. And the Kli Yoker explains that only a Nazir Tome, only a Nazir that became defiled, he is considered a sinner because he didn't watch himself. He was not careful to become pure all the time. And other Mefarshim explain that since he became Tome, then Hashem showed them that there's a problem with him, that he is not completely pure. When the Torah writes down Pasuk 11, V'chiper Olav Masher Choto Ala Nefesh, that should atone for him what is sinned on his soul, meaning that he must have a previous sin that caused Hashem not to accept this Naziris and caused Hashem for somebody to die suddenly next to him, that this Naziris would be cancelled, that is not enough what he's doing. Following the same idea that we mentioned before, that there are no coincidences that if you saw the Sota, then you accept Naziris. But a lot of times this Naziris is not going to be enough, and Hashem makes you become defiled because Hashem makes somebody die next to you or makes somebody die in the room that you are in, even though that's not your fault. But the Gemara itself on Tainis Daf Yud Aleph brings down an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, Omar Shmuel says, Kol Ayoyshev Betanis, anybody who is sitting in fasting, Nikra Choyte is considered a sinner. Gemara says, why? Sovar ki hai tana de tanya. He learns like this tanya. Rablezra Kaper says, what is the pasuk saying that he should atone for this what is sinned on a soul? Vechebieze nefesh chato, what kind of sin did he do? So Rablezra Kaper says, Elozesh tzir asr mila yain. That is considered somebody who decided not to drink wine, he decided to forgo wine, he is considered a sinner. The Torah considers somebody who makes a promise to avoid drinking wine that he is a sinner. So Shmuel makes a kavachomer. This person who says that he's only not going to drink wine, he's already considered a sinner. So much so would be a person that is fasting all day that is for sure considered a sinner. Again, Shmuel says that anybody who fasts all day is considered a sinner because he learned it from Nazir. Nazir is abstaining himself from wine, and yet Rablezer Kaffer calls her a sinner because abstaining himself from wine. So much so, somebody who is abstaining himself completely, then he's definitely a sinner. The Imre Emes asks a question, how can you compare the Kavachomer? A Nazir is 30 days. So for 30 days, if you abstain yourself from something for 30 days, maybe you are a sinner. But if you abstain yourself only for one day, who says that you are a sinner? Maybe you're not a sinner in that case. 30 days, I understand you should be a sinner. But one day, who says you are a sinner? So the Imre Emes answer that the hardest thing to do is the first day. The Nazir is punished because of the first day of his abstention. He's called a sinner because of the first day of his abstention. Because since we know every time you want to do something, call us cholos koshes, that all beginnings are tough. Once you're able to do the beginning, then it's easier the rest. So the Nazir main problem was the first day. After the first day to be a Nazir, it's no big deal. The first day is the hardest. And that Nazir had to overcome, and yet he's still considered a sinner. For sure, somebody who is fasting all day is definitely considered a sinner. Hassan Sofer asks a question, how can we say that a person that is not drinking wine, a Nazir, is a sinner, when the Pasuk number 5 says that Kodesh Yel Hashem, that the Nazir will be holy? So how can you say he's a sinner when he's holy? So he explains that Shmuel's words are very punctual. Shmuel means to say exactly the words that he means. Shmuel says that Kol HaYoyshev Betanis Nikra Choyte, that anybody who is sitting and fasting is considered a sinner. And he learns that from Nazir. A Nazir, if a Nazir would do it just for no reason, he would just decide to separate himself from wine and he wouldn't have any reason, he would be considered a sin. A person normally is considered like he's going. A person is required to go from level to level. He cannot become stationary. He has to constantly strive to achieve a higher level. So therefore, a person is always considered like a person who goes. The Rambam explains that the idea to fast is that a person has to be awakened to do tshuva and has to be able to achieve a higher level. But this person is Yoishev Betanis. This person is just sitting and fasting. He's fasting, and all he does is not eat. He's not thinking, and he's not meditating to see how he could get better, how he could repent, how he could raise the level. He's not using his fasting for a positive thing. He's just basically not eating. A person who is acting that way towards fasting is not taking advantage of the fact that he's fasting to get to a higher level, is considered sinning. To a person like that, if you do wine, he's also be considered sinning. But a person that actually moves, that he fasts, but is using the fast to go to a higher level, a person like that is not considered sinning. Tosfos himself, on Tanya Daf Yud Aleph, asks a question on Shmuel. Shmuel definitely learns the Gemara that says that anybody who sees a sota bekilkula, anybody who sees a sota being degraded should become a nazir. So theoretically, there's a contradiction by Shmuel. Here Shmuel holds that if somebody sees a sota, he has to become a nazir. It seems to be a good thing to become a nazir in order to save you from the loss of the sota. And here, in our Gemara says, if somebody fast is considered a sinner, and he brings a proof from Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, that Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says that a nazir, because he's not drinking wine, is considered a sinner. If he's a sinner, how can you expect him to do that when he sees the sota being degraded? So Tosfos answers that Shmuel is going to say as the same idea that we do by a tanes cholem, by a fasting when you have a bad dream. The halacha is that if you have a bad dream, then it's good to fast right the next day. If the next day falls on Shabbos, the Talmud says that you're allowed to fast on Shabbos in that case, but nonetheless you do something wrong because you're not allowed normally to fast on Shabbos. So what's your option? Your option is to fast for the reason that you fasted on Shabbos. In other words, a lot of times we see that even if it's the wrong thing to do, but nonetheless, certain times one thing better supersedes the other. Even though normally we're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, but because this fast has to do with a dream and it works very well right the day afterwards, so therefore we allow you to fast even though you sin. So too, Tosfos says that if you see a sota bekilkula, if you see a sota being degraded, even though it's a bad thing to become a nazir, nonetheless, you should still become a nazir, because that is what the antidote is for your desires because of the sota. And Hashem Yisbarach should help. Like the Torah's Emes explains that this Shabbos is the Shabbos of actual Kabbalah Satoira, that since the original Kabbalah Satoira was on Shabbos, we should try to make commitments to learn more Torah and make sure that we enjoy the Kabbalah Satoira, that we enjoy actually the receiving of the Torah. And also the Shabbos after Shavuos, which is called the Shabbos after Shavuos, because it is symbolized our Parnasa, that everybody saw clearly that our Parnasa came from Hashem through the people showing us the Lechem Aponim, the showbread. Hashem Yisbarach should help us that we should all have plenty of Parnasa, plenty of livelihood, so we don't have to worry about it and be able to devote ourselves to Torah. And this is Shabbos that we feel Geirushin, that we feel disconnected from Hashem because we get extra Kedusha. And therefore, this is Shabbos. Hashem promises that He is going to raise our level. So Hashem Yisbarach should help that we should all raise our level. We should all do Tshuva Shleima. We should all becoming Nazirs according to the Sefer HaMekdavar, which brings that Nazir attains the level of Ruach HaKodesh. And if we all merit to do mitzvahs and do tshuva and repent for our sins, then we'll have Moshiach Tzidkenu come, Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt, Bimheira Bayomeinu, Amen.